This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
Good afternoon and God bless you and welcome. Our assignment today has to do with family issues in ministry. My prayer for this session is that somehow we would be able to find a few answers, at least introduce ourselves to some ideas that may help us forward in our various calls and responsibilities in ministry. I do not have a 1-2-3 formula or cookie cutter idea that I can say do this, that, and the other, and ministry as a family will be successful. I wish I could, but together we can find our way forward with God's help. And the reason that I cannot give you a simple formula that fits all is because everybody is different. Every situation is different, every family is different, every call to ministry, I think, is different, at least in some way. And the burden today, part of the burden today, is that it is so possible and even likely that for us, the desire to put our best into the call that God has given to us, especially, let's say, in a voluntary service setting, or in a foreign mission, for that matter, that we focus on that and we do our best at the expense of our families. I'm hoping that will be able to make application to domestic ministry today, even though you're going to hear that my heart is somewhat abroad. So the slant will be more toward a foreign missions. And even though our family spent time in ministry, and even though we've been to various places of the world in various ministries and so on, I have not achieved. I am learning together with you. Now I'm going to frame our session today with a mission story from Genesis 18. This story is that Abraham and Lot had separated, and Lot had moved his family and his cattle and his things toward Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, he took his family, okay? Abraham stayed, took the other part, and he was there with his family. And I want us to get some really important points here that have to do with family in ministry. So one day Abraham is sitting in the door of his tent. You're going to hear that expression a few more times today. Abraham, as the leader of his family, and the way it talks about him here, is sitting in the door of his tent. And fathers, leaders, that's where we need to find ourselves, the door of the tent, as pertains to family issues in ministry. And so these three men come, and they come to Abraham. And as they are talking, Abraham becomes aware that there's a problem over here at Sodom, and that the wrath of God is going to come on the place because of its wickedness. Picture with me the way God sees the world today, and the similarities to what was going on in Sodom there. And so the Lord says, and he was one of the three, you know, As they begin to walk away, he says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of. And so as the men begin to go, the Lord says, I can't hide from Abraham what I am about to do. And so he tells him about the wickedness of the city. And immediately, Abraham, with his mission heart, thinks of Lot. And immediately, he is prompted to do something. One opportunity, it's now or never. And he goes with these men as they begin to leave. And Abraham begins to intercede. Now, the thing that's interesting is the Lord didn't say that I'm going to listen to Abraham because he thought quickly and he followed us away from here and he has a heart for Lot. It doesn't say that. The Lord said, I am going to show Abraham what I'm about to do. Why? Because of his family. Now we say, well, now that's not quite fair, because at this point, Abraham's son was still a promise. So Abraham didn't have a lot of children running around his tent at this point. However, the Lord said that Abraham is going to become a great and mighty nation. Picture the family with me here. And all nations of the earth are going to be blessed because this man has a high set of values for his family. I know him. And he is going to command his children and his household after him. So here is a man that doesn't have a family yet, but the Lord says, I know what it's going to be like when it comes. And they're going to keep the way of the Lord. They're going to do justice and judgment. And I'm going to be able to keep my promises. So one of the points here is that Abraham was given insight into the big picture of what God still intends to do in the world today because of issues in his family that were right. Tremendous. And so if God is going to do a work in the world today, he wants to do that through faithful families. So let's just look at some of these ideas a little bit more. Constructive activities for children. I don't have handouts today, but there's about four different areas that we want to look at. One of them is activities for children. So a family is called to ministry, to some mission. The big question is, how is this going to work with a family? There's a lot of questions that go with this. And notice I use the word constructive activities. Let's use the word construction, and let's just look at that a little bit. First of all, I guess I should say this, that when there's a call of God on a family, for a mission, for a ministry, usually dad is really, really clear on what's expected of him. Not a lot of question. There's orientation. Perhaps he has a meeting with the board, and it's very, very clear exactly what he's to do, what he's to accomplish, what his goals are. I'm sorry. What his assignment is. For the wife, she has a pretty good idea what her assignment is, especially if they have a family. So she knows something about this. And then the next question is, so what about the children? What are they going to do? Constructive activities for the children. Construction. Now, we drove in here today and I was looking for this church. And my wife pointed, she said, over there it is. It just kind of towered out over here. And I said, construction. Constructive activities. Using this building for an example. Obviously, this building is fitly framed. You can see it from the outside, you can see it from the inside. The pieces fit together. It is framed. Okay? Now, go with me as we look at these points and how this relates to the fitting together of family and mission. This building is very functional. I about got lost in here. You walk around, it's good for some signs and helpful people. But this building is functional. It is serving a really, really important purpose, not only today, but at other times. It is purposeful and it's durable. I see quality construction here. That doesn't mean it can't fall down, but this building is durable. Now, I like to see constructive activities for children framed with these ideas. So construction involves vision. This building didn't just happen. It involves plans, it involves material, it involves time, it involves skills, and many other things. Constructive activities for children call for three things. Number one is supervision. Number two is supervision. And you've guessed number three, supervision. Back to Abraham. God said, I know him, that he is going to command his children, we'll look a little more at that word after a bit, his children after him. Supervision, supervision, and more supervision. There's a reason why God gave children to parents. All right. Creative activities for children. A number of ideas here. One is to be creative. To be creative. What are my options? Now, I'm thinking about Abraham back there, and I'm saying for Abraham, there weren't very many options. He was in a tent. He was a nomad. He was out there in the desert. He had herdsmen to take care of his cattle. So what did Abraham's children do? What options did he have? God said, he didn't say what Abraham's children are going to do, but he said he knows that it's going to be right. Okay? Be creative. I'm sure it took some creativity on Abraham's part. A good builder is a visionary. He looks at his options. He looks at ideas. One thing I want to emphasize here is that in a setting where there are children and we're looking for ideas, let's remember that not everything is about efficiency. Our culture says it needs to pay. We heard about the profit. We heard about the rewards, the bottom line. And I'm okay with all of that. Okay? But not everything is about efficiency. It doesn't always have to pay. Now, Abraham, out in that tent, I am going to safely assume that when little Isaac came along, that a lot of his responsibilities involved domestic responsibilities. And I think this is really, really important. Dad knows what his role is, mom discovers what her role is, and oftentimes, and usually, the wife, mom is the one that struggles the most with constructive activities for children. What are they going to do all day? Of course, there's school, and there's other small things that they can do, but I'm going to give an idea here. Domestics. There are a lot of things that children can do to make the load easier for mom. It may be quicker for mom to do it. It may be more efficient for mom to do it. The bathroom may be cleaner if mom does it. That's not what we're talking about. If we take all of the responsibilities, or a lot of the responsibilities, that mom has and grapples with, and dad takes his role and he teaches Johnny to clean the pot, the bathroom, he can do that, even if he's a boy and even if he's fairly small. I'm only using that as an example. Dad can teach him how to clean that commode. He can teach him how to clean the tub. He can teach him how to clean that floor and many other such things that are usually overlooked. I'm just thinking about Abraham and the options that he had out there. Something else that dad can be involved with, creativity. We just came from Bangladesh. We're done at 4 o'clock, yeah. Okay, I'm going to go very, very quickly here after a while and give you a lot of ideas. But in Bangladesh, the children don't go to Walmart and buy toys, all right? When we go visit a home, Johnny may be out with his friends and they're playing marbles in the dirt on the road, beside the road. They cut a little hole in the ground and they're contentedly playing with marbles, very economical. The other thing they do, one day we came and there were a couple of boys there and they had taken a stick at the bottom end. They had a cross nail with a little pop bottle on each end and they had made little push contraptions that they were having so much fun with. It was their own little push cars. We have seen little contraptions made of wire, little cars and things like that. You know what? It is an excellent idea for dad to sit down with the boys with things that are common in the country. So what are my options here? Maybe it's wire, maybe it's a stick. That's what Moses had in his hand, by the way. Many things, and there can be little contraptions and things made that the natives can identify with, and it pulls them together, builds relationships and friendships with your family. But be creative, just be creative. Secondly, be organized. Know where and what your resources are. Now for us, and again, every situation is different, but we had only one son, we had four daughters, and so our situation is different from the one that has four sons and one daughter, okay? The needs are going to be different. Dad is going to have to look at that situation differently. What are their ages? What are their needs? How can I best plan ahead for their future and the things that they're going to need? But be organized. It's easy to just say, I just don't have anything, so we throw it all away and we kind of give up. Be organized. Know where your resources are, know what your goals are, and more than likely you have a board or someone that is overseeing the mission. Be open with them. Share an idea. Give a plan that you have thought through where you can see clear to the end, and you introduce an idea and you say, you know what? I need to do something for my boy. He needs something more to do than what he's got right now. Here's an idea. We live back here. We have this little space. We could do this and follow your plan through. Give the idea away. More than likely, they will be glad to assist with that. Thirdly, be sacrificial. Be sacrificial. Be prepared to introduce ideas that cost rather than pay. We're kind of back to this efficiency thing. Something else that you can do here in line of being sacrificial, and my good wife is here and I give her a lot of credit for this, but that is the thing of the wife, the mother, developing an appreciation for dad's involvement. Okay? She can be so strategic and influential. So dad needs to go away. And he can't help it. There's an assignment, there's an involvement. A time when Faith Mission Home was in court with the Department of Mental Health, our children hardly had a dad. I mean, I had to. There are times I'd go to Ohio for a Christian law meeting, involvement. She would gather the children together and say, you know what? The Department of Mental Health is trying to close Faith Mission Home. And dad must see after these things. And she would explain this to them. And what happened out of that is our children actually became interested in what was going on, and there was an appreciation for my involvement. Well, then dad needs to be a little creative and see what he can do to balance this. And so we got to thinking, okay, so maybe as a reward or an incentive for they to stand behind and support dad, we said, we're going to take a trip and we're going to go to the West Coast. It's something we hadn't done before. So, of course, we started thinking about this and enthusiasm began to build, and our oldest was maybe 16, 17, youngest was maybe 6, 7, I'm not sure, somewhere in there. And so, yeah, we decided to do this, and it's a reward, it's an appreciation for they getting behind and supporting dad's ministry. Well, the next question was, how are we going to get there? Cost to do something like this. I said, here's an idea. I guess this falls into the be creative. And it also involved sacrifice. But I put the oatmeal box on the counter, and we cut a slot in there. And our children were old enough that they could do things. And the girls said, you know what? There's opportunities to babysit for the neighbors. I'm talking safe environment now. Okay? There was a project. There was a family at the mission had a handicapped boy, and they gave us some good opportunities. They had a long fence to paint. And our family got involved in painting that fence, paid fairly well. The money went in the oatmeal box, and the day came when together we enjoyed that trip. Well, sacrificial. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Know what's going on. I have to just go very quickly here. In the idea here of being vigilant, know where your children are. Know who they are with. In the villages, for example, children are not taught much discretion in moral and modesty issues. And this requires a lot of vigilance, both for children and for teenagers, and so on. Vigilance. Know the families of their friends. And maybe this is more on a foreign level here. But as children develop friendships, after a while, they're going to bring children to your home, to your turf. And this is very, very good. Discuss community involvements with your children and hold them accountable for who they are with. This will help them to understand why some are good for them and why some are not good for them. And now, be realistic. One primary point here. There is a time and there is a place for family to be involved in, let's say, a foreign mission or even a domestic mission. There is time and place for that. However, there is no substitute for boys learning skills and a work ethic. There's no substitute for that. And so, realistically, when boys get to the age where they need to learn work ethic, and so on, the time may come when you need to make a change. Foreign missions are not for everyone. National and international missions are not for all families at all times and all places. Now that sounds I hope that doesn't come to you as a counter idea, but it's true. National and international missions are not for all families at all times and all places. Involving children in the mission. I'm going to preface this with a scene in Mark 10, verse 13, and I'm just going to say this kind of in my own words. And it's the scene there where children were brought to Jesus. And Jesus took these children and he blessed them and he said, "Don't forbid the children to come, because of such is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus paid special attention to children, and he illustrated the kingdom of heaven with children on his lap. People make deductions about your life and message as they observe your family relationships and the way you work together. People that are observing make deductions about your message, what you are attempting to bring to them, as they observe how the family works and how they interact. The Christian family calls attention to the heart of the Father and his love for all people. Children in missions or ministry are extremely powerful, or at the same time can be extremely detrimental. The Christian family exemplifies the great theme of the Bible. I believe one of the great themes, or we heard this morning, great theme of the Bible is the glory of God, God in all his glory. And where that becomes even more glorious is where sons and daughters are brought into the kingdom and exemplify the glory of God. The family is a tremendous way to do that. Involving children in the mission. I'm going to just scroll through a number of ideas here. Okay, I ran ahead of myself. Involving children in the mission. One, partner with fellow missionaries. Partner with fellow missionaries. Maybe there's no one working right with you. Maybe there is. This can be extremely powerful in a Muslim culture. How can people work together and give and take and be a blessing one to another and so on? They notice things like this. Partner with fellow missionaries in humanitarian aid projects or whatever your possibilities are in that particular mission. Involve involvement with congregational needs. For example, there are widows, pastors, people that your children can be actively involved with and can be a blessing too. Be actively involved in church services, participation. We spent some time in Romania years ago, and it was very, very common for boys at a very young age to preach. We call it having devotions or whatever. Participation in church services, and children fairly young can be involved in doing this, and it's a tremendous blessing. Children can be invaluable in evangelism. They are quick and effective in developing friendships. This happened in Bangladesh, maybe in a little different way, but our teachers go to schools and they're teaching and they develop friendships with the children. And consequently, the children come to our house, okay? We have private classes with them. I put whiteboards on the wall and we set up classes and so on. After a while, parents are wondering, I wonder what's going on over there. So they come around. So we become introduced to the parents and we become friends with the parents through the link of the children. Very, very important. Other small things, again, be creative. Projects such as sewing Bible covers. Bible covers are a tremendous asset, can be, in spreading the gospel. We sold these little Bible covers, and we slip Bibles or Bible story books in them, and you can give them away as a gift. It's not that we're hiding anything. It just makes it easy for people to carry these away, and no one needs to know what's inside. And it comes as a gift. You offer a Muslim a gift, they're liable to take it from you. And of course, they want to know, you want them to know what's on the inside. Third point, guiding the family through cultural and ecumenical challenges. We could spend a lot of time here. Culture is important and it's unavoidable. Respect for culture is also an important factor in building relationships, but here is an area that the family must maintain balance in cultural relationships, in culture. I'd like to illustrate that with Luke 7, and it's the story where Jesus is at Simon's house. And just a real brief story about that. Jesus is there, and this woman comes from behind, and she comes behind Jesus, and she is crying. She's weeping. She is washing his feet with tears. She's wiping his feet with the hairs of her head, and she is anointing his feet with oil, or anointing his feet with that ointment. Simon is standing there, and he is looking, and he's saying, Jesus, better pay attention. If you knew who it was that's touching you, here is a major violation of culture. At least three things. A woman comes and is touching a man. Secondly, she's got her hair down. And thirdly, that's what was going on. And Jesus told Simon, I need to tell you something. This woman, because of what she is doing, has done, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven her. What Jesus was doing is violating culture. Jesus knew the woman was there. He could have stepped away. He could have put distance between himself there. But Jesus carefully violated culture to call attention to a greater purpose, his mission. Your sins, her sins, which are many, are forgiven her. I say this only to say that culture is important, but culture is not everything. We can observe culture at the expense of camouflaging our real purpose. Let's not do that. This could be a session all its own. Guiding the family through cultural and ecumenical challenges. Number one, what is the answer? Anchored, humble, God-fearing fathers. Number one. Number two, involve the family in meaningful discussion in evaluating cultural differences and then explaining why we can blend with some things but are not free to blend with others. Modesty issues, for example. I got a warning from the back. I want you to see these points, so I'm going to go very quickly. Foreign culture may pose no greater risk than pressures in established Anabaptist communities. Either require structure and clarity. Very, very important point. Some will say, well, the family should not be involved in ministry because of the risk. Okay? Look around a little bit. The way we do it is not the only right way. Our families need to be clear on this. American is not particularly right or better. Okay? This takes a lot of forethought and training. Our children must see the church globally. Applications of a biblical principle will vary, but our children must understand why we are committed to the church of our choice. I'd like to expound, but I'm not able to. It is better to guide through than an attempt to isolate from. Humble, anchored, God-fearing fathers, it's your responsibility. Guide through rather than attempt to isolate from. Social and cultural barriers are best broken down as relationships are formed with the local people. And that can be done in many, many ways. I wanted to tell you stories about some of the amputees, but that will have to come another time. Final point here, developing the missionary of tomorrow. Our children in ministry are either going to become better or they're likely to become bitter. Let's make it better. Developing the missionary of tomorrow. How is it done? First of all, that local ministry opportunities or what we are involved in are hailed in a positive light and everyone is involved. This ministry is important. It's positive. It's good. It's God's call on our life. Cultivate mission interests. How is that done? Well, possibly through sponsorships and follow-up connections. Let me tell you a little story here. I gave a presentation at a church, and after church, a number of people came up, and we were talking about the amputees programs in Bangladesh, and I had showed some slides of people, ladies that had lost maybe both legs, arm and a leg, were hurt badly when the Rana Plaza collapsed. And I said, you know what? These people know how to sew. $100 will provide a brand new sewing machine for these people. And I had a vision to give sewing machines to these amputees, both as a self-help program, number two, as a door for continued ministry. So I just mentioned this, that maybe instead of going to McDonald's a few times or doing something else, that maybe you would provide a sewing machine. And I said, I will put you in direct contact with, I'll send you a picture of whoever gets a sewing machine. We got back to our home, and here in the mail, here comes a letter. And the one letter said, hi, I am Ben. I was at your presentation, and I have a heart for this person. I would like to give a sewing machine. So here is his $100. And another letter, hi, I am Rachel. I am 15 years old. And here's what happened. We went, bought sewing machines, and when I took machines to those people, I gave them the letter that had come from Rachel and from Benji. Tremendous. Follow-up connections and, you know, put people in contact with these people. It's meaningful. Drill family on commonly asked questions about who we are and what we believe. This is very important. Do an exercise in your home. Gather the children around and say, how would you handle? How would you answer this question? Somebody asks you, how would you answer about this strange thing that you wear on your head or whatever? Connect the ministry of Christ with yours in a number of ways. Visualize, for example, how did Jesus see people? He saw them as candidates for his kingdom. Help children to understand Jesus, our perfect example, how he saw people. He would see them as sheep without a shepherd. Draw word pictures and have them involved. Strategize. We heard some about that today. My latest strategy, well, you can't see it anyway. But when I got my last prosthesis, I had the man put the words, Jesus is the answer. So we go to an amputee's house. Invariably, they want to see my leg. So I show it to them. I pull it off. And they say, well, I didn't say anything. The words are just there. Probably a question. I tell people that's my latest strategy. And then agonize. Pray about it. Have them involved in active prayer times and then evangelize. Contrast American luxury with poverty and use as a teaching tool. So pertinent in Bangladesh. Depending on how we conduct ourselves and the things we have, they will fasten their attention on what's in my hand and they will miss what's in my heart and what I am attempting to give to them. Target a country and collect resources. Here are some things you can do. We're going to take a quick page through in my last 5 minutes. Target a country, get information for your children. Who are the people? What are the children like? What do they look like? How do they dress? What are the cities like? And you go to the library, you're getting information. Your children are paging through and they're seeing, oh, Dhaka is one of the world's densest cities. Where do these people live? Where do they hang their clothes to dry? How do they farm their land? How do they plant their rice? How do they dry their rice? Where do they go for groceries? What does the local market look like? How do they cook their food? What does the kitchen look like? How do they eat their food? Your children are going to get interested, and they are looking for, oh, where do they wash their dishes? Children will like that one. How do they travel? Bus, boat. How do they build their homes? What does construction look like? Are there projects going on? Pastors training? Do they have schools? If so, what do they look like? What does a class look like? What are they learning? English. Are the children friendly? Do they like Americans? Oh. Are there problems in this country? Are there political problems? Obviously, in Bangladesh, there are cartels. Are there mission activities going on in this country? Rana Plaza falls down and there's tremendous opportunity for ministry. What about widows and poor people and self-help programs? Do they like Americans? Are they easy to be friends with? What does the journey look like? How can we plan? Put shoes on your vision in our final minute. Are there missionaries in this country? Oh, he didn't hold that one up yet. What are their stories? I just about have to tell you a story. I was going to tell you a blood story, but we'll do that after you're able to go. Invite someone to your home for an evening of missionary stories and experiences. Had that happen. Actually, a brother from a nearby community said, you're going to come to our home sometime and sit with our family and tell them missionary stories from around the world. Think about actually taking the family to visit instead of a domestic vacation. Instead of going to the West Coast like we did, which was also good, take the family to Ireland. Take them somewhere after you've gotten the information, you've gotten the resources. Care about people in a practical way at home. Expose children to mission newsletters. ESL has a newsletter, and they will send it to you. All you need to do is get on a mailing list, and you will find out how English is being taught in Bangladesh and what's happening over there. Involve the family in discussing ministry and your long-range goals. Live a kingdom-focused life. I know I'm giving you a lot of things here. Arrange life to teach sacrifice, even though you can afford a higher standard. And that's an important one. In your home, for your family, you may have the resources to fix the bathroom or whatever, or add on to the house or whatever. Instead of doing that, even though you are able to, arrange life to teach sacrifice to your family, even though you could afford to do it differently. They're going to have a greater appreciation, they're going to have a deeper vision for how people in the other side of the world live. Maintain a high level of respect for the call of God on your family. And finally, for I know you. I personalize this, that you will command your children and your household after you, and you shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, promote God's heart for the world, that the Lord may bring upon you the rewards of faithful family in ministry. Is that okay? Paraphrase that way, Genesis 18:19. We have just a few minutes of flex time. Okay, good time for questions. He said questions or a story. I will take the questions first. Maybe there's something you would like to say, correct? I went so very, very quickly over these points, but maybe there's something you would like to say. Good question. I was just telling a brother today as we were eating lunch, we were at Faith Mission for 25 years, and I wouldn't have spent 25 years there if we would not have had our heart there. Involved, we loved it, it was God's call and all of that. Time came when, and we had talked about this years before, that when the children are grown, married, or able to take care of themselves, or all of the above, that we want to be involved in foreign missions in some way. So this was a growing desire on our part. Well, the time came when our children were all married, and they were on their, they were going, and I said, you know what, it's time to replace ourselves at Faith Mission. One of the important things to do is to find someone to take your place while you have the ability to think and to realize that someone else may be able to do a better job than you can without someone having to convince you of doing that, okay? So we said, okay, we're going to leave that. And then people said, so you're going to run Faith Mission home from the other side of the road, even though you're not there. I said, no, we're not going to do that. So how did we make the transition? We simply planned to go to Pakistan with a call of God on our lives to rebuild homes after the earthquake in the Northwest Frontier Province in Pakistan. This was in 2006. I walked out of the office, took my wife and some belongings, and we got on a plane and we flew to a remote place. It was where probably one of the most dangerous places in Pakistan. We were told you are crazy to go there because the Taliban is there, the radical people are there. We went there, and at that point, I could do nothing but focus where I was. It's not that I didn't care about Faith Mission. I didn't have time to even think. We didn't have a phone to call. We had a satellite phone in case somebody died. But beyond that, we basically did not have communication. And I said, we just walked to the end of the dock and jumped off. Now, there's different ways to do that. We came back, and I told the director that took our place, I will give you all the time that you want to help you get established and all of that, but you are the man in charge, and I am doing other things. We made kind of a radical jump there, and for us, it was the best thing to do, because had I stayed local there, I'd have had a hard time keeping my heart and my mind away from across the road, because that was my life. But to do that changed all of this. I don't know if that helps or not. Little story yet. Are we done? All right. Well, you can get up and leave whenever you're ready to. But in Bangladesh, my wife and I are walking from the bus stand and we're going toward our apartment. We're walking as is common. And this little rickshaw, three-wheel bicycle as they use, comes zipping around us and stops in front of us, and a man jumps off the back, reaches out his hand, and he says, I need blood. Okay? I said, what kind do you need? He said, I need type O positive. I said, I know mine is red, I know it's good, but I don't know if it's type O positive. Okay? But I'll find out if we have type O positive blood on our team. Well, he said, here's the story. He said, my wife had a baby. They made this great big cut. And he motions, you know. And he said, she's lost a lot of blood. She's still not well. So I need blood. So I make a quick phone call. And I find out that one of our team girls has type O positive. I call her. I say, where are you? And she said, I am on the other side of Poya School. I'm coming toward the apartment. I said, I'm on this side coming this way. I said, would you like to give some of your life away? And she said, yes. I said, this lady had this baby. She needs blood. She said, I will give. So we said, we are coming. Man said, get on the back. And we get on this little three-wheel thing, and we go with him. We go meet Lydia. Lydia Gertson, by the way. She's from Oregon. And the man meets her, and he says, get on. We will go. So he takes us to this little concrete building that has a few rooms. And we go up, and here is mother in bed with the cutest little girl, you know, the coal black curly hair and the chocolate eyes, and the baby is fine. The man says, now we must get the blood. So we go back out, we go to the other side of town, and there Lydia, with the situation in Bangladesh, allows these people to stick a needle in her arm, and they took a bag of blood. They took plenty. And so she was able to donate. And through that, we have had a good relationship with this man, a developing relationship. What I want to say here is that this scenario involved blood. You see, stories like this preach. It involved life. Okay? And then it involves relationship with this man. You're following the story. And hopefully, at some time, he will be able to draw the dots together. The big story is about blood. The big story is about the giver of blood. The big transfusion. The big story is about people receiving blood and receiving life. God bless you. Going to quit.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.